It's having all of that knowledge so that when you go forward to the insurance company, you say, like, these are my top 30 codes, and this is where I want maximum reimbursement. But don't be fooled, because where they're making up that additional reimbursement, they're going to take away other reimbursement on other codes. So yeah. Having that knowledge of what codes your practice and your providers are billing out is super important in the negotiation and optimization process.
This is Growth in Dentistry, a dental intelligence podcast, where we ask the question, what does growth in dentistry mean to you? I'm Steve Jensen, a data dental nerd and your host. Welcome everyone to another Growth in Dentistry podcast episode. I am super excited for today's guest. We are always looking at industry trends, what's going on. And one of those trends that I've been tracking closely is accounts receivable days. And I know it's nerdy. If you're sitting there and that, like, just saying that made you gloss over, that's totally fine. But the reason why I've been tracking it is back in February, there was the CHC outage where all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of claims that dental practices were trying to push through got completely stopped from a cyber attack. And today I'm not gonna focus on cybersecurity and how to be more secure. And I'm not gonna talk about which clearinghouse you should be using and solving that problem directly. But there are some obvious lessons we can learn from a hard situation like that on how do we engage with our insurance payers and kind of set things up. And that's where we're gonna go today. Now, before I jump in, I wanna give a shout out to the marketing team at Dental Intelligence for sponsoring this podcast. They are awesome. There is so much work that goes into producing this week after week after week. And as always, they have an awesome promo for anyone that's listening. If you haven't checked out Dental Intelligence for a while, there's some really cool new releases like scorecards, insurance claims processing. We do that now, as well as eligibility. So if you haven't checked out any of those features, text to pay. If you haven't checked them out, check them out. They are doing a $50 gift card just for doing a demo. If you're a current customer of DI, and I said some things and you're like, I don't know if I'm using those, then you can also take advantage of that promotion by coming and getting a demo of the additional products that Dental Intelligence is offering. So just know that's on the table. Okay, without any further ado, I want to jump in and introduce our guest for today. So I have with me Angela Holland. If you've never heard of her, she's an absolute baller. So Angela started a company that works with insurance. So she had a third-party company that was helping you get your claims paid and making sure that that was happening on time. And when I say she's a baller, she built that company, scaled it, and sold it to a NASDAQ company. So, like, sold it to a big, had a nice exit, which is super cool. Like, I'm thrilled for her. And now, after a break, is like, okay, like, how do I want to have a new impact in dentistry? And in building that company, she created this massive love for insurance and a knowledge about insurance that the average dentist and consultant and person out there in the industry just doesn't have. And so today we're going to talk about a problem that she is solving with a new company that she's building. But we're going to mostly focus on the problem. And that is one I see all the time. And that is with fee negotiation and with credentialing. Most people don't understand the impact that those two simple things can have on your business, like long-term and throughout your whole career. And so I'm gonna shut my mouth. I'm gonna bring Angela on. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you so much. What a great introduction. It's so nice to chat with you today, Stephen.
Give our listeners like a little bit of, if you want to add any color commentary to your background, and tell us a little bit more about, like, why did you get into this specific insurance problem? And why are you so passionate about it?
Yeah, when I sold my company in September of last year, I thought I was done in dentistry. And it's funny because the teeth just keep calling me back. but for me, since I'm not a dentist, it's not the teeth, but it's the insurance. I love the ability to help people that don't have thorough knowledge, deep understanding of how the insurance companies work. I love helping them win with insurance, for lack of better explanation. I love to be able to tell providers who are saying, I want to go out of network, I want to be fee for service. I love being able to help set them up in a way that they can accept PPO plans and be a lucrative company at the same time, be a lucrative business. I love teaching on right and wrongs with insurance. I love helping providers nationwide maximize their insurance reimbursement. It, for whatever reason, boring or not, it gets me jazzed, and I love it.
I think it gets everyone jazzed. Like, even just listening to the comment that you could be part of a PPO plan and be profitable. Like, right now, I listen to so many webinars, and like a hot topic for the last like 2 years consistently, like this drum that people are beating is like insurance are the big bad guys. Yeah. And the only way to be profitable is to go out of network. And certainly that's definitely a path a lot of folks are taking, and we're seeing trends on that. But man, if there is a benefit to being in network, and I think everyone realizes that, like when a patient calls and says like, you know, hey, are you in network with Aetna or Cigna or, you know, heaven forbid, Delta Dental, like it does have an impact on their decision-making. I mean, it certainly does with mine. Like my wife and I are only going to both healthcare and dental places that are in network because of the benefits that we get because of it. So man, if you can figure out how to do that and get connected with people that know how, that is so powerful. So one of the things that I mention to people when I do courses is there's really only like two ways we can increase production. One, we can see more patients, which right. It means we're doing way more work. Like every additional patient we see is more work, whether that's more hours or more team members. Like that's an expensive way to grow. The second way is that we can increase production per visit. Yes. And one of like, it's so funny. Every time I go and do this course, I have the whole class say, okay, like, how can we increase production per visit? And they're like, oh, well, I could do like implants and ortho, and I can like do all these high value procedures, which is true. I like it. But what never comes up, which is like, in my opinion, should be like your first train of thought, is our fees. And I always bring it up and they're like, oh my gosh. So I say like, okay, raise your hand if you raised your fees in the last year, like no hands go up. In the last 2 years, some hands go up. The last 5 years, then I get some people that start to like tinker with it. But it's one of those places that just for some reason, I think we're busy and it just doesn't like, we don't make the time to do it. So I don't know. Do you want to start there? Should we talk about fee negotiation?
Well, yes. And I believe it's not in your face, you know, with, hey, we should update fees. We should negotiate fees. Hey, I have the expertise and knowledge of and connections at insurance companies and know-how. So it truly, it's a piece of practice ownership that really gets slips through the cracks because it's not on your radar. So what we do is, yes, we believe that you can negotiate higher fees. We do it on a daily basis. And, you know, I know everyone here is Delta Dental doesn't negotiate fees. I will give you my word. I just negotiated higher fee schedule for a client of mine in Wisconsin with Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So there's a couple pieces that people can do to increase their bottom line from a fee perspective.
Yeah. Will one you like, is, talk us through kind of like how that works? I think I mentioned
yes, absolutely.
Call, like I've heard that it can be like for a provider, it can just kind of feel like hard where it's like, I've got all these different plans and yes. I don't want to have to like spend an extra 2 hours, like emailing or calling back and forth and giving them yes. the information they need.
Yes.
And then I don't know if what they're sharing back to me, like, is that fee schedule? Like they made a few tweaks that are increasing, but other ones didn't. Like, and I don't know if that's good enough or not. So
yes,
yeah,
great point.
Kind of how it even works.
Yes, I wish it took 2 hours. That would be amazing. It takes a lot more than 2 hours on the phone with insurance companies. It takes days. So what we do is we start with evaluating UCR, so the office standard fee schedule, and we make sure that it's aligned with the other UCR within their zip code. So it truly is custom. It's based on that practice location. And then from there, we go through and we evaluate which fees they're currently accepting, which insurance plans. And we get as detailed as what their current fee schedule is, what the UCR fees, and then what their cash to insurance ratio is, how many, what their top codes are, so that when
I was
going to
ask that one. Is there like any strategy there where it's like, I don't know this, I'm learning on the spot. Is there any give and take with the insurance companies where it's like, hey, like if I negotiate, you know, $10 more on a pro fee, that might be a better battle to win than getting another $50 on a crown because my crown volume is just not high enough. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know.
That's exactly right.
I don't know if you're playing that game, but
Yes, it's having all of that knowledge so that when you go forward to the insurance company, you say, like, these are my top 30 codes, and this is where I want maximum reimbursement. But don't be fooled, because where they're making up that additional reimbursement, they're going to take away other reimbursement on other codes. So yeah. Having that knowledge of what codes your practice and your providers are billing out is super important in the negotiation and optimization process. There's also, it's kind of like an industry word, but we have fee negotiations and fee optimization. They're similar, but the difference is fee negotiations would include negotiating the fee schedule with insurance. Fee optimization is a deeper dive into who the practice is currently accepting, who they're directly contracted with. So if you're directly contracted with Blue Cross Blue Shield, you're getting reimbursement on the Blue Cross Blue Shield fee schedule to your office. Now, if you want to look into fee optimization, that would be looking deeper into these, what people call TPAs, third party associate or third party agreements, and umbrella plans, really. So we take a look at all of the pieces, starting with UCR, fee negotiations, and fee optimization, to make sure that you're not only gaining additional reimbursement, but you're truly set up for the most optimal way of being a PPO practice.
Mm-hmm. Now talk me through like, you know, so I'm listening and I'm like, okay, like I haven't touched my fees for a while. What kind of like impact can you expect this having? Is this like the type of situation where it's like, okay, I'm going to spend some money here, have someone help me out, and then I'm going to make an extra 10 grand a year? Or am I going to make like another 50 grand a year? Can you talk us through kind of like, you know, like,
so first of all, don't be shy.
Because I think a lot of people always ask the question, like, I'm so busy as a dentist. My time is valuable. Like, is this worth my time to do it? And then how often? Is this like something annually I can get benefit, 2 years? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Great points. So if you have not negotiated fees or changed your fees in years, don't be shy. I hear it every single day, so you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. Yes, outsourcing it with an expert is the most efficient way to do it. At least with Preferred, we offer, we guarantee to increase your fees or your money back. So it is in our best interest to help you make more money. And then as far as what they can expect, it's going to depend on what percentage of PPOs they are, how many patients they have, what procedures they're doing. But a practice, we can increase fees anywhere from, I don't know, $20,000 to over $100,000 annually in reimbursements.
Yeah.
So I have seen a wide array. And the practices that are increasing $10,000, it is rare. It's, I mean, we're in the 50s, 60s, 100,000s on a regular basis to increase. And that's doing the same amount of procedures with no growth in the practice end, which I also want to keep in mind is probably not the reality, because all the treatment they're currently doing come with future treatment and future referrals from their patients. So we pay for ourselves a million times over. And we can do this for practices every 2 to 3 years. It's going to depend on the insurance company. Some will negotiate every 18 months, other every 24. So I would recommend raising your UCR fees 3 to 5% annually on your own. You don't need us to do that. And then
do they just like submit that to the insurance companies? And then there's like no change in, like, you're not negotiating, or you just raise them knowing that after 2 years, I'm going to, you know, go renegotiate.
Yes, they could raise them just knowing that they're going to get higher reimbursement for their cash pay patients. They have a higher, if they have in-office discount plans that go off of UCR fees, all of that 3 to 5% increase is going to account for, honestly, it's going to account for overhead, cost of living, inflation, all of those pieces are going to help account for that. And staying ahead and staying relevant with other offices in their area. So making sure that they can hire staff and everything accordingly. And then as far as how often I would recommend working with a professional company that specializes in this.
Yeah.
To make sure
that it's like a no-brainer. I talk to enough doctors that like, it's just so hard to keep all of that.
It is
straight and to know like exactly what to do. So, you know, just from the same argument of like time's valuable.
Yes.
And And time outside of work is valuable, like time with family and friends and doing your hobbies so that you have like this feeling in life that's exciting and the movement. Just letting another company come in, knowing it's going to pay for itself is a no-brainer.
Yeah, knowing that there's no added cost and that it increases your insurance revenue immediately upon increase of the insurance negotiation, immediately increases your revenue, which is a beautiful thing.
Now, I'm going to ask a question. This might go nowhere, because I've never asked it to dentists, so I don't know. But I have a bunch of rental properties, and the first time that I raised rent, so I raised my fees, it like freaked me out where I was like, man, I don't know if like people put up with this, but like my mortgage has gone up. My property taxes on the rental properties have gone up. My mortgage or my home insurance has gone up. Like my home insurance like tripled. And so it's like, I'm paying more money just to own this thing. And so I'm making less. So I need to increase rent. And it freaked me out. But then when I did it, I was like, oh, like people just kind of expect that. Like they know that stuff's getting more expensive, and it wasn't nearly as scary as I thought. Do you ever have dentists or office managers like afraid of raising fees? Like they're concerned about like patients' reactions?
Absolutely. Especially the offices that haven't raised them in years. We would always recommend that they're at the 80 to 85 percentile of zip code industry standard for their UCRs. And I've had people that are at the 40th percentile and they say, whoa, I'm not going up to the 80th, you know, off the bat.
Yeah.
So we recommend, okay, put you at the 60th percentile. I mean, I would recommend going to the 80th, but with the fear, I'm fine to coach them through that in a way that I understand the true fear. And then, but that being said, it's based on, you know, industry standard based on their location. Yeah. So even if you raise it, you're still very relevant with other dentists in your area, other dentist offices in your area. So if a patient gets frustrated, hey, I'm paying X amount of dollars for a crown, and they call another location, it's going to be a very relevant price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just wondered if that was like a concern for anyone.
I think so. Change is concerning. Yeah.
Once you go through it, then you're like, oh, wow. Like that was not as big of a deal as I thought. Like maybe a couple patients out of thousands, you know, might say something, but they probably will keep coming anyway. Like it's not, I think a lot of times some of those things that feel big just end up not being as big of a deal as we might think they are. So I just wondered.
Yes. And I think communication is clear. You know, I believe that anything can be solved through communication if both parties are willing to have a conversation about it. So I think just being, you know, very clear of the expectations and where we are, and then, you know, we as the company and the dentist as the client, we can come to an agreement that makes sense for everyone.
Yeah, I love, this has been so good. So every couple of years, we're going to negotiate fees annually. The recommendation is to bump up UCR by, you said 3 to 5%?
Yes, 3 to 5%.
And that's kind of just like with inflation, which totally makes sense. And then one of the pieces we haven't hit yet is doctor credentialing. So that's like, I'm like rewinding. That's like at the very beginning, you know, I'm setting up that relationship. Can you talk us through like why that's important and maybe common mistakes and how you help people avoid those mistakes? Because starting off on the right foot is also really important. Like I'm going to compare this to, I talk with scratch practice doctors all the time. And on like the numbers analysis side, they're like, well, I don't really need to look at my numbers until I have enough patients. And I'm like, no, like all of the small decisions, the small problems that you face early on as an owner, like if you let those go, it exacerbates problems. For example, like if I'm unaware that my team's not reappointing all of my new patients, then I get 6 months down the road of owning this business and I don't have patients on my schedule. And then I have to pay someone to call them, which is expensive, to get them back on the books. Where if I can just know early on that I have all of my T's crossed and my I's dotted, it's going to put my business in a way better place a year, 2, 5 years, 10 years down the road. So can you talk us through credentialing a little bit?
Absolutely. So credentialing sort of in short term is getting the dentist or provider recognized with the insurance company, making sure that they have all of their recognition, their credentials on file and recognized as a provider, whether it be a provider that's in or out of network. We come across many, many consultants, the selling doctors when there's an acquisition, or even lawyers. I've had lawyers say, go ahead and you can utilize the selling doctor's networking and submit claims under him or her until you're credentialed under the new tax ID. And so that is the biggest misconception that I like to clarify. It is absolutely insurance fraud for a provider to submit claims under another provider. So we always want to make sure that we get the credentialing. So if it's an acquisition or a startup, we want to make sure that we get the credentialing going as soon as possible. As soon as there's a sale date in hand or a contract with the bill of sale, we want to get you credentialed. It's important to realize that for the short-term credentialing time period, while a new provider acquires a practice, it is better to operate out of network than to send claims under the selling doctor, which is the insurance fraud. So it is a short-term period where you may be submitting claims out of network for less reimbursement or a little bit harder of work, or you're not in network, so a patient may not come to you. But there's workarounds that we have that I coach, you know, these acquiring doctors through to ensure that they don't lose any of the patient base and that they still can submit claims in a legal and lawful way.
Yeah, that's so important. Tell me, what about an associate? So I am a dentist and my practice has grown and I'm hiring an associate. Is that different than if I'm buying a practice with credentialing? And can you talk through that?
Yes. So an associate would need to submit claims under the practice under their own name, but they would be under the tax ID that the owner doctor has. That being said, they would still be an out-of-network provider until the associate is credentialed under the owner's tax ID. So there is a lag period. That being said, we can coach and advise these dentists that are hiring associates on the best practices to ensure that they have proper and quick reimbursements, or we can also fee negotiate for the practice as a whole and then credential the new associate. So there's a couple different options, but just understanding the benefits to both scenarios and the proper way to do it without losing patients or money is the secret.
And what if I'm listening and I have an associate and that associate, we've just been billing through my provider ID, but now I'm like, okay, I didn't know that. And I want to switch. Yeah. Do insurance companies, are they okay if I just like magically turn on a new provider and what I'm submitting magically goes down? Like, it's pretty, like if someone paid attention, it would be pretty obvious that I was, you know, submitting under a different provider and now I just like split it up. Does that like flag me and put me at risk of like insurance fraud, or is that like a normal thing and doesn't get
flagged? That's a great question.
That makes sense. Like, I'm thinking like that could inhibit me if I'm listening and I'm thinking like, okay, crap, like I need to split it out, but I don't want to get caught splitting it out. Like, what's
sure. No, it would not create red flags. It's a great, great question. It would not create red flags. I believe when we know better, we do better, and that's all we can do. So if you truly didn't know and you're just looking to fix it, we can absolutely help you get this associate credentialed. There would be no concern of, you know, an additional audit or red flags. Let's get them set up properly. Let's get you set up properly. And we just keep moving forward.
Well, I only ask because in the last like 3 months, I've been on with a couple of practices and I just know that they're submitting under the one doctor owner, and I've encouraged them to not do that.
I hear it literally every day. And, you know, chances are you're not going to get caught, but the reality is, you know, that's the same thing as a speeding ticket. Today you could speed and not get caught. Tomorrow you could speed and get a ticket. So I think, unfortunately,
with speeding tickets, you can be like me and have the attitude where it's like, that's just the price to go fast.
Yeah.
But with insurance fraud, that's not a price.
That's their livelihood.
You want to pay.
Yeah, you know? No, their livelihood's on the line. We want to make sure that the owner's license is protected and everything. So totally, it's when we know better, we do better. And so if you're learning this for the first time, we would love to help you. We can get you set up properly, get your associate set up properly.
Okay, cool. And that's another one of those things that like, I'm a huge fan of having professionals do, just to make sure that once again, that's done the right way so that you're not at risk for anything.
Sure.
Now we're up on time. This has gone so fast.
Thank you.
I'm going to hit you with my last question here in a second, but I just want to say like, I love anytime you can find opportunities in your business or dental practice where you can make a small change and it will have a big impact long-term. Like I love taking advantage of those, especially this one. Like most of the time I'm talking like, hey, in hygiene, like the difference of adding fluoride or upping our perio percentage slightly has a huge impact on the business, or increasing case acceptance in the doctor chair by 5% can have a huge impact. But this is one of those where it's like, I could just outsource it to you, and I don't have to train my team on anything. I don't have to like change behaviors, and we get that benefit. So this one in my mind is like a no-brainer. So I'm going to ask you the question, Angela, I ask every guest, and that is, what does growth in dentistry mean to you? And I'd love to hear your answer to that.
I love that question. This is deep. I would say growth in dentistry means to me staying relevant with the times. None of us could have foreseen what was happening with Change Healthcare to come. And staying truly relevant with the times. So credentialing, and then staying up to date on credentialing and fee negotiations. If this was something that was not on your radar previously, there's nothing but to improve moving forward. And with our clients, we set a reminder so that once you're due for updated negotiations, we reach out to you. But you know, if you're out there driving to work or whatever, set an alarm in your calendar each month, and that will help you stay relevant and continue to grow with dentistry. Because I don't believe insurance companies are going anywhere, and I would love to help you see your company continue to grow.
Yeah, I love that. In fact, you know, speaking of keeping up with the times, like dentistry, you know, I'm in all these forums on Facebook and stuff, and in my opinion, dentistry is super exciting. Like, I get to look at the data of 10,000 practices, and there are some like absolute like ballers out there. They're doing cool things today. Like, there are people starting scratch practices today that are super successful. But then I also have this other group that are like, it's the worst time and it's so hard. And it's a little sad, because there is kind of this like juxtaposition of, there are practices that are struggling maybe more than they ever have, and there are some practices that are thriving more than they ever have. And that's such a great invitation. If we can commit ourselves to this like lifelong habit of learning and growing, then that will help us ensure that we get to have a fun experience in dentistry. And I'm confident that today, 2024, we can have a fun experience in dentistry, and that dentistry is not going away either. Like field. So thank you, Angela. That was a great response. Thank you for coming on. If you guys want to get in touch with Angela, we're going to throw her website in the show notes. So look for that. The website is, I put it in my notes here so I don't want to forget, www.preferreddentalsolutions.com. www.preferreddentalsolutions.com. We'll throw it in the show notes. Definitely reach out to her. If you have not increased your fees in a little while, if you're not sure if you have your credentialing done right, then reach out to her. Her and her team are just getting going. So now's a great time to jump on with her and her company. So Angela, thanks for coming in. Anything you want to share on your way out or say?
No, I am passionate about what I do. I'd love to help all the providers out there and get you guys set up with the maximum reimbursement. Insurance is my specialty.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining, Angela. And thanks once again, you're welcome. And thanks again to all the listeners for joining week after week. This has been another episode of the Growth in Dentistry podcast. My name's Steve Jensen, your host and fellow data nerd. Keep growing. We'll see you soon.